Good morning, and welcome to the Cloud Foundry Morning Edition, episode 18, presented by the Cloud Foundry Ambassadors. Welcome to the Cloud Foundry Morning Edition. My name is Stormy Peters, and I'm VP of Developer Relations at the Cloud Foundry Foundation. Today's Cloud Foundry Morning Edition is brought to you by the Cloud Foundry Ambassadors. So I'm going to have them introduce themselves here.
Hi, I'm Mark Carlson. I'm the CTO at ECS Team out of Denver, Colorado.
My name is Matt Curry. I'm the Director of Cloud Engineering at Allstate.
Hi, I'm Jeff Hobbs. I'm a Director of Engineering at Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, focused on Cloud Foundry efforts.
I'm Luke Wajak, an Engineering Director from EMC.
Awesome. Welcome, Cloud Foundry Ambassadors. So with that, we're going to jump right into the news. This will be a weekly occurrence, and you'll see these faces and other faces on the Cloud Foundry Morning Edition. So we have some new members in the foundation. Mark, you want to tell us about them?
Yes, this month we've seen Cisco upgrade their longtime membership to the platinum level and basically increasing their stake and their commitment to Cloud Foundry as the foundation of many of their key cloud offerings. Also, we have a new silver member, Steve Greenberg, and Resilient Scale. Resilient Scale is the name of the cloud native consultancy that he's created, and you can learn more about what they do at rscale.io.
And I love seeing startups start up in the space, because usually the more startups you have in a technology space, the healthier it's getting. So we have lots of really large enterprises, which is terrific, and a lot of support. And if we start to see small companies also start up, it means things are growing across the ecosystem. It's really awesome.
Indeed.
So we also have technical stuff happening. Like I've heard about Bosch 2.0. Matt?
Yeah, so Bosch 2.0 is gaining momentum. I think one of the biggest changes there is the move to the cloud config section in the new Bosch 2.0 manifest. Alexander gave an awesome talk at CF Summit about Bosch 2.0 and the evolution of it. You can check that out. Think on YouTube, and that's about it. There's some great docs out there under the Bosch homepage that talk about the manifest V2. So if you just Google for that, then you should get some details of how to work that out in your manifest. But cool stuff and good evolution of that tool.
Yeah, all the summit talks are on YouTube. So if you missed any or couldn't attend three at once, you have plenty of material. So there's also some technical updates in the CAB call, which just happened last week, I think. Luke, you want to cover that for us?
Sure. So the big news there is that Diego and Garden were moved out of the Cloud Foundry incubator into Cloud Foundry org on GitHub. Also, associated with that is there's a mirror, a repository mirror in front of GitHub called code.cloudfoundry.org. So if you're importing those, make sure to adjust your imports. We're working on the DEA Warden end of life. There should be an announcement that comes out at some point in time soon. So time to transition to Diego's now, or do it very soon. Diego officially supports our relational data stores. And then the Percy effort, which is bringing persistence to Diego, has been in close contact with Docker as they're using the Docker volume plugins as the API. And so we're working with Docker to shape that plugin. Also another effort underway is container networking. They've completed the basic forwarding over overlay networking and enforcement of a policy, so simple policy for containers on the same cell. The Abacus product is now deployed on all Bluemix environments. And the last piece of news here is that Diego is going to be moving away from etcd.
Awesome, thanks, Luke. And I think there's a trend that several of the projects are moving from etcd, but not all. Some of them are going to continue to use it. I think LogRGator, if I remember right.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Awesome. Thank you, Luke.
No problem.
And the cab call is open to everyone. So if it's once a month, I think for an hour, if anyone wants to hear directly from the project leads, but if not, we will give you the summary here.
And Stormy, one thing to point out is that the Cloud Foundry organization's the foundation Slack channel, you can reach it slack.cloudfoundry.org. And there's a channel within that Slack account for the cab calls itself. So you can announce your participation there and ask questions there. And it's a pretty good way to jump in and participate.
Awesome. Good point. And then one thing we'd like to do more of in the future is bring you trends that we see in the world. One of the big trends is multi-clouds. Mark, you want to talk to that?
Yeah, I'll just take a second. You know, in our projects out in large companies that are implementing Cloud Foundry, you know, in the early part, you know, over a year ago, we saw most of those started out as on-prem, on various on-premises infrastructure as a service offerings, OpenStack and vSphere. But what we've seen kind of in the last 3 to 6 months is a move to, you know, in that time, if a lot of times they would shift and also have a secondary implementation on a public cloud, and that public cloud was almost always Amazon, you know, a year ago or so. What we're seeing now is large companies beginning to do their secondary or sometimes even their primary implementation of Cloud Foundry on Azure or on even Google Compute, which is, you know, relatively new to the enterprise focus anyway. They've certainly been around for a while, but their enterprise focus is new. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I've been writing about and thinking about a little bit is just how hard is it to build an application that's multi-cloud if you're going to go put that app directly into a public cloud offering. And that's one of the value props that I think Cloud Foundry offers is, you know, the ability to build your app on top of an abstraction layer and then let Cloud Foundry's, you know, CPI or other abstraction capability, if you're not deploying with Bosch, insulate you from the underlying APIs of the cloud provider. So that's, you know, that's just a movement in very large customers that we're seeing. And I think overall the foundation's kind of well positioned and Cloud Foundry's well positioned to capitalize on that.
And so you're seeing people move to different public clouds and use multiple public clouds in addition to having something on-prem?
Yeah, and I think the difference is, and we, you know, we saw that most of it started with on-prem and then very quickly they might adopt Amazon Web Services a year ago. I think what we're seeing now is that secondary is often Azure. And we've even seen some very large customers begin to deploy on Google Cloud Platform.
Awesome. It's great to see Cloud Foundry work well across all of those ecosystems, all of those infrastructures.
Yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done, but I'd much rather be doing work to tune a CPI than build my own from scratch.
Yep. And so thanks for bringing that. I think multi-cloud is a huge trend. As others see trends, feel free to send them to us or to join us on the call. Jeff, the foundation recently put out a container report. Did you take a look at that?
Indeed, I did. Yes, the foundation engaged a company to basically do the first multinational view on opinion survey where trends are going really around containers, and it came up with, you know, a lot of good information. And I think the first, you know, the scale of the survey itself was really nice in that respondents were screened so that you were getting core IT decision makers and influencers in companies that were minimum of 100 employees and people that had been minimum of 2 years in IT. So they were really they got a good sample size and got a good cross section of those in the know driving their internal work. And additionally, it was actually very evenly divided between North America, Europe, and Asia for almost one third each. So it is a very global survey. And it showed that, you know, mostly for more than 50%, it's using containers for application development. Then there's the various breakdown in there. And from the benefits, people mostly see isolation as the key one. Version control and consistent environments and, you know, lightweight small footprint also were highly rated. But the key worries that grew with the increased container adoption were basically managing these containers at scale. And if the half of the respondents said container management is very important, followed by monitoring of them. So there's a lot more detail in the report. Please go over to the Cloud Foundry blog in the community blog. You'll find it there. It was released in mid-June, titled of Hope Versus Reality, Containers in 2016.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff. It was a good read. I thought what was interesting, too, is that most people wanted to use containers, but not everybody had figured out how to do it yet. So hopefully all of our work on Cloud Foundry helps them deploy and manage them and monitor them more effectively, because there was a lot of companies that saw them as useful but hadn't figured them out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's part of it, is how do you bring in this new technology? And of course, Cloud Foundry has that nice prescriptive way of doing it that companies like, because it answers a lot of the questions they have internally.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff. So I think we're going to wrap it up with events here. Anyone can jump in with any events that they know. Spring One is next week. I think a couple of you are going, or your organizations are going.
Yeah, Matt had to drop off the call, but Allstate's got a couple of talks next week, including one by Matt Curry, who was on earlier. There's a number of users of either some of the cloud native Java coming out of the Spring group, as well as Cloud Foundry customers as well. And so it'll be an interesting show in terms of a mix of customer case studies and you know, technical talks. And so certainly looking forward to that. Our group's given a talk on going from an application and turning it into a service broker, and then in this case, turning it into a tile to run in Pivotal's Cloud Foundry marketplace.
Awesome. And there is a Cloud Foundry booth there. And typically our booths are staffed by member companies and by ambassadors. And so if you are someone who can help out with the booth, that'd be great. And if you want to talk to an ambassador or a member company, stop by the booth if you're there.
Hey, Stormy, I got one other addition to that I remembered. Our group is going to be there presenting on persistence and sort of the end story. We have an addition to Spring that allows you to use persistence in a Spring-like fashion that's very clean from a developer's point of view. So Paul Warren from our group is going to be giving a presentation on persistence in Cloud Foundry tied together with Spring and how they work in tandem.
That sounds good, Luke.
Yep.
And I encourage all you Cloud Foundry fans to support your Cloud Foundry speakers and go to their talks and tweet it and help spread the word that way and ask them supporting questions. So other big news, the European Summit is coming up. It's not for a while. It's the end of September. But this week, I think this morning, we just announced the schedule with all the speakers and the keynote speakers. It's really awesome. As we were going through the call for papers, we found a paper from the Dutch government. So we're super excited about that. We didn't know the Dutch government was using Cloud Foundry. So there's a number of customers and member companies and users, lots of great speakers if you go take a look there. And registration's open. Early bird registration, which is a pretty good discount, is open until August 2nd. On the Cloud Foundry Summit news, the foundations announced that Cloud Foundry Asia, which happened in China last year, is going to be replaced by Cloud Foundry Days. And the goal there is to be able to reach into more countries within Asia. Asia is a really big place, so having just one summit was really hard to get everybody there. So we'll have a series of Cloud Foundry Days, I think, and our member companies are going to help put them on. And I think there's a handful already planned, and we're still looking for hosts. I think we need a host for Tokyo. Oh, I should look this up. We need two more countries that we want to target in the first round that need hosts, but there's a handful planned.
Tokyo, Hong Kong, and Singapore.
Thank you. So if you'd like to speak at or help plan those, we're looking for help planning out the Cloud Foundry Days Asia. The meetups have been continuing to go strong. Our meetups are always awesome. There's been just 14 meetups in the past week. So they're all over the world. Europe, Dublin, London, all of North America, like
Denver.
Denver had one. Tokyo and Asia, there's a number of them. I actually got to attend the London one instead of the Denver one. Sorry, Mark. So I spoke at LoPUG in London, which was cool. Fun. And then while I was in London, the reason I was in London was doing a Cloud Foundry roadshow. So the foundation has been going to all the major sites where there's a large concentration of Cloud Foundry contributors and giving an update on the foundation and finding out if people have questions or what they want to contribute. It's been a lot of fun. We've done most of the North American sites and the European sites. So I think it's been like Santa Monica, San Francisco, Toronto, Denver, London, Cambridge. We did not do Raleigh since they just had their dojo launch and we were there. Waldorf in Germany and Sofia in Bulgaria. And I think that it's been a roadshow. So if you are at a site that has a large concentration of Cloud Foundry contributors and would like the roadshow to come your way, let us know. And then two more event things. One is we'll always have a section for call for speakers. So if you have a conference where you'd love to have a Cloud Foundry speaker, let us know. A couple that I know that have call for papers right now are Container Camp in London. And I believe the Garden team has already submitted their proposal. So that's awesome. And then there's an open IoT summit in Europe run by the Linux Foundation. And then we'll have those in the notes for this podcast.
Great.
And then last but not least, for those of you that were at the Santa Clara Summit, there was a Bosch Day. And the thought was, what do we do with that community day? And the idea was not to do another Bosch Day, but maybe do a Concourse Day, maybe do a Diego Day, maybe do something else. And so what we're leaning towards right now, and we're looking for people that want to help. So if you want to influence it, make it something else or make it more of that, you can join, is a Hack Day, which would be building things on top of Cloud Foundry components. So maybe focused around Garden or Diego, we'd have it the day before the conference. People can come, hack, build things. They can bring something they've partially built and they want help with. And then it'll be a regular hack day where everyone gets to demo it at the hack day, and then the best ones can present it on stage at the summit. So that's the current thinking. But it needs volunteers, so it needs people that want to help make it what they want to make it. All right, any other news from anybody on the call or anything that anyone would like to share? All right, well, this is your Cloud Foundry Ambassadors Group bringing you the Cloud Foundry Morning Edition, and we hope you'll join us next week. Thank you all.
Thanks for listening to the Cloud Foundry Morning Edition, episode 18, presented to you by the Cloud Foundry Ambassadors. We hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, please tell your friends, and you can also subscribe to our podcast either on YouTube at the Cloud Foundry channel or on iTunes or Stitcher, or you can follow along on the Cloud Foundry blog, which is cloudfoundry.org/blog. We hope you subscribe, and we'll talk to you again next time.